Well, hello, we're back, and it's 11:15 here in Marion, Ohio. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, and today on the air, it's kind of hard to say, on the air, but that's what we're on, that's the name of the show, and we're here with James Anderson, who happens to be the naturalist for Marion County, and we're really learning a lot of stuff today, and I even learned stuff while I'm away when we're on the break, so I'm going to bring some of that up. First of all, James, I understand we had kind of a faux pas go on.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago. Tell me about that. What was the problem out on the trail?
Yes. So there was a family that was out enjoying themselves, and they made it to about the first quarter mile right there at the first bridge. And they looked under and noticed a suspicious item. And it looked really weird. And it did kind of look intimidating. And they said it kind of looked like a pipe bomb.
Yikes.
So they did the responsible thing. They called the Marion County Sheriff.
See something, say something, right?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So they called the Marion County Sheriff. Sheriff came out. And, you know, the sheriff's, you know, said, yeah, that does look pretty suspicious. So then they called the bomb squad down in Columbus.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they came out. And then come to find out, it was just a geocache. It was not a pipe bomb.
Now, tell us a little bit about what a geocache is.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. I've had explained that so many times to so many people. But basically, geocaching is treasure hunting.
Yeah.
That's just a fun way to put it. But for your smart devices, your smartphones, tablets, whatever, you can download apps or you can pay for certain apps. And what they'll do is they'll give you a latitude, longitude coordinates, and then you follow it. And geocaching, it's a really fun family activity you can do with little kids to seniors, so all ages can enjoy it. So they come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. Some of them are like lunch boxes. Some of them are like little containers. The coolest one out by the 203 section of the Tallgrass Trail by Big Island Wildlife Area, it's a dove decoy.
Uh-huh.
And then what they did is they drilled a hole, put a little plastic tube, and I don't know how they did it, but then they wrote up this tiny little piece of paper, and you can only put your three initials. And so it just shows you, again, it comes in all cool styles.
Would you had to go out on the lake to get it if it was a decoy?
Well, that's a duck decoy.
Yeah.
But the dove decoy was out on a branch.
Yeah, doves wouldn't be out. You dummy, Glenn.
You're fine. So, yeah, like I said, they're really cool. So this person, and we are still not sure who made it, but it was just kind of poorly designed, and I don't think it was their intent to make it look life-threatening, because I think they put it near the water, and I think they were trying to make it waterproof.
Okay.
I think that was their overall goal. And again, unfortunately, I think with the design, it did look like a pipe bomb.
Yikes!
But that's not the worst part.
Yeah, tell me the worst part.
Yes, unfortunately, there's a local Facebook news media page that they must have a police scanner or something like that, because I follow their page. And because I always want to keep update if there's any, you know, questions or concerns at any of our parks, you know, I'm right there to help answer. Well, instead of saying potential pipe bomb, it said a dead body.
There is a pretty major difference between the two, isn't there?
Yeah, I hope so. So
now a pipe bomb could give you a dead body.
Yes.
Oh, well.
So within the first 20 minutes, it was shared 100 times because my boss, Dan Sheridan, I don't think he even caught it. I think it was a friend of his who saw it on that Facebook page and then said, "Hey, Dan, did you realize that, you know, someone's saying there's a dead body at the Tallgrass Trail?" And he said, "What?" And then sure enough, it spread like wildfire. So he did a phenomenal job, really helped informing everybody, putting out the fires and saying, you know, no, it was a potential look like pipe bomb, no dead body.
Did it make Columbus news?
No, it did
not. Good.
We must not been that big.
We would have had a lot of people come up from Columbus to see that.
Oh, yes. So please, if you hear that misinformation, please inform them that, again, it was just a poorly designed geocache.
So you told me that there are several of them that are planted out there.
Yeah, to our knowledge, we think there's between 50 to 60. 60 different kinds of geocache at Marion Tallgrass Trail.
So take your kiddies out there. That'd be fun.
Yes, we're working with a local geocacher. Her name is Jeremy Ratcliffe, and she goes all over Ohio, Marion County, and she even puts out the geocaches out so kids and families can discover. And we are actually going to create a geocaching policy. A lot of parks do this. So it basically is a registration. So if this were ever to happen again, who did it or who has it, and then we can inform the police and all that. So
Now, you're not going to go out and steal those little toys from the kids, are you?
No. And what Glenn's talking about on some of the geocaches, especially what Jeremy does, she puts like little toys and trinkets. So it's like you take one, you leave one. Not all of them are like that, but that's what she does because she really gears hers for little kids.
So you can actually put out your own geocache.
Yes. Okay. Now, what she informed us is if you're going to do that, you have to register under some like Ohio Geocaching Society or Association, I'm not sure, and then they have to pre-approve it, and then you can put it out.
Oh, okay.
And one of the big requirements, like you and I were talking off air, is it has to be on public land. It cannot be on private land.
Yeah,
so of course,
understand
parks,
that.
You know, are a great example of that.
Well, like I told you, we did a thing when I was at the credit union. We did a thing. I can't remember the name of it, but we went out and put anywhere from $10 to $100 out, and we kind of gave hints at where it was, and people would go out and search it up. We put those almost 90% on public land, and occasionally we put it on land that we knew the owner, and we let the owner know. But it was kind of fun. I had probably, I'd guess, three of them out of maybe two dozen that nobody found.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still out there?
No. I went out and picked them up because nobody found them. We used it again, put them someplace.
Boy, you must have been a good hider.
Unintentionally so, I guess. Anyway, okay, so that's the story. No dead body out on...
Yes.
That would not be good publicity,
no,
by the way.
No, it would not.
Now, all publicity is good, but that wouldn't be good.
Yes, very
all
true.
Right. Well, now, while we were on break, you were telling me that something I had never heard of before is that a caterpillar stung you.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was at my one friend, Natives in Harmony, out in Marengo, and I was helping her with some weed eating, and next thing...
Did it taste good?
Or? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Cheap shot. Okay.
So I was pulling some weeds, and then I felt something weird every time I kept putting my arm down. I said, oh, what is that? And I didn't pay any attention. And then sure enough, I looked down at my shirt, and there's this bright green caterpillar. It's an Iomoth caterpillar.
Iomoth. I like its name.
Yeah, the Iomoth. Yeah, they're beautiful. Iomoth. They're bright yellow when they're in the moth stage.
Uh-huh.
But then during the caterpillar stage, they're bright green. They have a red stripe going down.
That's almost to tell predators, don't eat me,
yes,
right?
Yes. They almost look like a woolly bear, you know, that fuzziness, but their hairs are more stiff. And so, of course, when you're pressing your skin against it, then those stiff hairs are releasing toxins.
Oh.
And luckily, they're not very deadly, but like I told you earlier, there are some caterpillars across the world who it can't kill a person.
So it's like a porcupine with venom on the end of its little thingies.
Basically, yeah.
Yikes.
And my arm all broke out and felt like it was on fire, so I had to put some medicine on it, took an allergy. Or not
antihistamine or something.
Yeah, something like that. And that helped control the reaction.
Now, are there critters out there that we should be alert not to get close to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know we've talked about the that one rattlesnake.
There is the Masaga, Pygmy rattlesnake, which we have some records in Marion.
Uh-huh.
Then, I mean, of course, there's poisonous plants, poison ivy.
Poison ivy, most of us know three leaves and
leave it be.
But what other? Now, sumac, is it poisonous?
Yeah,
some of it is?
There is a poison sumac, and then there are four other species of sumac which are not poisonous.
And there's lots of sumac out on the trail.
Those are staghorns.
Okay, and they're usually red.
And the reason why they call staghorns because the branches look like a stag from a deer.
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
Yeah, they're real fuzzy.
Yeah, huh.
But, and you can touch them, you're fine.
Is there anything else that we should, plant-wise, that we should be
There's poison hemlock. There's a wild parsnip. Now, those plants are starting to deplete since it is getting cooler. Right now you're seeing the kind of their skeleton. They're kind of dry now, but they can get really tall. I'm 6'5", and they can get over 7 feet tall.
What do they look like?
So their flowers are a big white, almost umbrella shape. But the stalk, it looks, kind of like a rhubarb almost. It's got a really glossy, outer coating, kind of a maroon stalk in the middle. But then if you, it kind of works different from poison ivy. You don't want to touch it, but it's not like if it just barely touches you, you're not really going to get it. But it's if you get in your bloodstream,
okay,
that's where
it becomes. So if you rub up against it firmly.
Yeah, or if you had a cut.
Sure.
And then, again, got in your bloodstream, then it become toxic. And also, if you get in your eyes, it can blind you.
Oh.
And then wild parsnip, it's the sap that's deadly. And so what happens is when we're using a weed whacker, and we're going especially around ditches. That's where they really like it because they like wet and sunny open areas.
What do they look like so we can avoid them?
They look like Queen Anne's lace, but they have a yellow flower, but they're a lot shorter.
Oh, okay. They look like Queen Anne's lace, but they're short yellow.
Yeah, and they're short and yellow.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and I said road ditches are probably very common.
That's where I've seen that.
Yeah, but if the sap gets on you in course of the sun, increasing the temperature, and then I've had some friends who have gotten it who worked for ODOT, like for a summer internship,
sure,
and they said it feels like a burning sensation.
Yeah.
So it really can really hurt you.
Are there any other animals other than the masaga that might bite you and poison you?
I mean, all animals will bite you if you mess with them. Like a turtle, I mean.
But you can't get poison from a turtle.
No.
Now, is it true that many squirrels have rabies?
I mean, there are cases of squirrels carrying rabbit squirrel, but it's more common in raccoons.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do they die of that, or do they just carry it? Okay.
Well, I mean, they'll carry it, but then they'll eventually die because what it is, it's a bacteria that deteriorates the brain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would not be good. Mine's deteriorated enough as it is.
It kind of works like mad cow disease.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's why if you ever get bit by a raccoon or a squirrel or what, they highly recommend if you capture the animal, because then they have to test it.
Yeah.
And if not, then you have to be quarantined, I think, for someone told me about 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
Just make sure, you know, you're not contracting it. And tell them as soon as it happens, because once you're so far gone, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
But they do have a medicine. If you get it in the early stages, it won't affect your brain.
I was bitten by a dog when I was 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
And I was on my way walking to school, and I apparently stepped on this doggy's paw. I didn't mean to. Yeah. It was a doggy friend. I knew the dog. I knew the owner. And apparently it had a very sore paw from something.
Yeah.
And I accidentally stepped on it. It bit me and tore my entire left cheek out, leaving this flap of skin hanging from my face. My mother said it was horrible. But anyway, that dog ran away from home.
Oh.
And we didn't find it. And they had to start the rabies shots. And back then it was, I think, 15 shots.
Wow.
And then, fortunately enough, the dog was still wounded, its paw, and it bit a postal guy.
Okay.
And he happened to grab the dog and take it in, and they tested it, and it didn't have rabies.
That's good.
It just had a very torn up paw from something. Hmm. And so they...
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Well, I did it again. I'm sorry, James.
That's okay.
Anyway.
I'm used to it.
Tetanus shots were 15. I don't know if they still are. And they gave them to you in your tummy.
Ooh.
And it was not very comfortable, especially as a six-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I hated it. But they had to do it. And they started, and I think it was one a day for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And we got through the third day, and they found the dog, and they could stop it. So that was kind of cool. And Duchess was the doggie's name.
Duchess.
And Duchess lived to be an ancient dog, so she was okay. It's just that she didn't know that I was not intentionally stepping on her foot. All right. Well, anyway, what were we talking about that I just messed up? I was going to... Oh,
programming, I think.
No, we're going to do that in the last
quarter. That's right.
We were talking about other parks.
Oh, yes, parks.
There are several parks that are involved in Marion County, right?
Yes, so for the park district, we are in charge of five county parks. Tallgrass Trail is one of them.
Yep.
Now, we do have one just right outside of the village of Caledonia. It's not accessible at this time.
Oh.
We're hoping in the future we'll have some type of accessibility.
Does it have COVID-19?
Yeah, something like that. No, it's landlocked, and B, it's got an old bowstring bridge that's been falling apart, and it's going to cost us $700,000 to repair.
And it's dangerous, so you don't want people
walking. Yeah, the county engineer came several years ago, way before I was on board, and the metal is deteriorating, so it would not be safe for people to walk across.
Is there any other way you can get to it if you wanted to?
No.
That's the problem.
Like I said, it's landlocked because you're either going on private property, farm field.
You.
So we're hopefully one day maybe we can have some type of accessibility because it's pretty big. It's our second largest park.
What type of land is it? Is it prairie? Is it forest?
Well, it's mainly forest.
Okay.
It's like I said, it's just right almost in the village of Caledonia. If you're in the town and you go on Liberty Street, right across where the Aqua building is.
Okay.
Where you can fill up your big water tanks.
Maybe we can put some pressure on one of the farmers that has access to it to put a little trail in so that we can get people
walking. We could. And the other thing is there's that railroad, and if you're in Caledonia, and you'll notice there's an active railroad, and then there's the other one that's not active.
Yeah.
And we have volunteers that live in that area, and they've been trying to talk to the railroad companies, but they have just mentioned that the railroad would not want to give up the rights because they don't want liability, and which I understand.
We
don't want anybody to get sued.
Nobody wants liability. Anymore.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with this litigious population we have right now, they'd probably get sued if somebody turned an ankle on their property.
Oh, yeah. But our other parks we have, we do have one outside of the Village Caledonia called the Paradise Nature Preserve. Now, those trails begin off of Marion Williamsport Road. So if you're on what I tell people, if you're on 95 heading towards Mount Gilead, turn left on 746 north and then stay on there for about a little less than 2 miles and then turn on Marion Williamsport. It'll say dead end, no outlet. You go all the way to the end, and that's where those trails begin.
Okay. Now, what type of land is that?
So, all of our other parks, they're all forested. Now, the other one I'll mention.
I would have guessed that they were prairie, but that's interesting. They're all forested.
Our one park I'll mention, it has a pond and a forest.
Okay.
So Paradise, and also what's pretty cool, it actually has a canoe launch for the Olentangy River on Whetstone River Road.
Kind of cool.
Right, kind of in between... I'm trying to think. Oh, there's the new facility, the Paradise Nature Center, which is separate from us, and then the cemetery.
Now, where they have the canoe launch, do they have places for you to park your vehicles?
Yes.
Okay. That's important. If you can't park, you can't take your canoe.
Now, the only problem is that once you're on the river, there's not really too many places, public access to get off. We had one gentleman who tried it. from that canoe launch to all the way to the golf course there off 95.
You know, okay,
there,
sure.
Clarendon by Charlie's house.
Yep, yep.
And after that,
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I can't remember the golf course name, but after that, it's all private property. So unless it's your property or your friend's property. Or, you know, you have permission, that's fine. But if you don't, that's trespassing.
How far do you go? Can you go down that river? Cincinnati?
I'm trying to think. It actually goes to Columbus. So,
does it?
Yeah, yeah.
So you could, if you really wanted a long day, you could canoe down to Columbus. I'm sure there's a place in Columbus.
Now I know Delaware County. I know there are quite a few public access points there.
Okay.
But in Marion County, no. Unfortunately, you would have to park right at that bridge right there off 95.
Now, I've been told ever since I moved to Ohio, which has been a lot of years, that there are no natural lakes in the state of Ohio except Lake Erie. Is that correct? There are a lot of dammed up rivers.
Yes, yeah, there, and there are a lot of man-made lakes. Now, there are probably, yes, there are probably some, but it's a very, very small number.
Yeah.
Because in the state of Ohio, to anything to be considered a lake, the body of water has to be over 50 acres.
Oh.
Anything under 50 acres is
a
pond.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, every state's different, but that's Ohio's requirements.
Okay. Now, can you fish on ponds if they're on private land? I mean,
on private land?
Yeah.
Unless it's yours or your friend.
No, if you have a friend. Now, do you need a license on private ponds?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Now, you do need a license on Lake Erie, I know that.
Yes, and at our lake, at our park.
Yes, you do. I know that. Have you had a lot of fishermen out?
Oh, yes, this summer, especially, you know, with not much to do. We have had a lot of families out.
Do you think they eat the fish that they get?
There's some that are eating, but it's mostly catch and release.
Okay. All right, now we've gotten through, three parks.
Yeah, we have Greenspur Nature Preserve, which is right on the corner of State Route 4 and 203.
Four and 203.
So it's north of Prospect. It's 3 miles north of Prospect. If you remember where the old power plant used to be.
No, I don't, but okay.
But for our older audience, if you remember, it's right across from that. It was John Watkins' property. He acquired that property to us in 2004.
Fantastic.
And that has a little pond we actually call Watkins Pond. And it's really, really small and shallow. There's no fish in it. But there's muskrats and ducks, and there's a lot of other interesting wildlife that you can find there.
Muskrats.
Yep.
I would have thought they'd want a bigger body of water.
I thought so too, but they have enough food and shelter and space, so they must. But there's only about two or three, so there's not many muskrats.
Not a big crowd of muskrats.
Yeah.
and you, are there one or two more?
Yes. Then there's the Myers Woods Nature Preserve, which is on Marion Wyandotte County Road, right across from the Kildare Plains Wildlife Area. That was owned by Charleston Myers, one of our judges here in Marion. And then that was our first park. He donated that park to us in 1995.
So right before. Well, when did you get
in 95.
The tall grass trail.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact year, but we acquired it in the late 90s, early 2000s. But then development really didn't take place until about 2010.
Yep. I remember when they were doing a fundraiser by when I was at the credit union.
We
bought a stone that had the name.
The brick paver?
Yeah, the brick paver.
Yeah,
that had our name.
There.
Yeah, it's still out there. I saw it the other day. Okay, and then there's another one?
And then there's the Tallgrass Trail.
So. Oh, okay, all right.
And those are our five parks. Now, we are separate from Pleasant Township Park, Big Island Wildlife Area. Each village has their own parks area. Then, as I mentioned before, there's the Paradise Nature Center, which is owned by their own board.
Now, is that Paradise or Paradise?
Paradise.
Paradise.
Yeah, Paradise.
Where does it get that name?
Trella Romine, who really helped started the park district.
Trella?
Yeah,
Trella.
When she passed away, she really called Paradise because it was like paradise, but for her. So she kind of combined
I love
the two.
She was a nice lady.
I never met her, but I really have to thank her, because without her I wouldn't be here. Because
I think if you meet anybody that knew her, she was kind of the Charlie of the female side.
She's left a lot behind.
Very
in
caring.
Her name.
Yeah All right, well, hey, now you mentioned muskrats on that one pond. One of the things I had not seen, and we've lived here since 04, I had never seen a chipmunk.
You haven't?
I had never seen one, and I found one the other day, after reading Google that said maybe that was what was eating my tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was out. I go out after I do my walk, and I sit in my backyard under my tree, and I watch. We have Cardinals and Blue Jays that are very prolific this year.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and this. First of all, I thought, oh, there goes a mouse. And no, it was a chipmunk.
Yeah.
And I scared him away from my tomatoes.
It's been Alvin.
Yeah, it was. He had his name tag on. No, but do we have a lot of chipmunks?
Oh, yeah, especially in urban areas. There's tons and tons of chipmunks. And at Tallgrass Trail, I always see a bunch.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. I must not be aware when I'm walking.
They're very secretive. I mean, especially when they're trying to forage for food, because since they're so small, so many predators will eat them.
Yeah.
And they're so quiet.
Yeah. Now, are there other critters that we don't know about that live in this area that we ought to keep our eyes open
for? Yeah, actually, while you're kind of talking about squirrels, one of the most common squirrels in Ohio is actually the southern flying squirrel.
We have a flying squirrel in this area?
Yeah. Now, they don't fly, but they glide.
But
the person who saw them first said, oh, they're flying like a bird.
Well, yeah. No.
But they're nocturnal. So versus the other squirrels are active during the daytime. And they love really forested areas. So the Paradise Nature Preserve, we have quite a few southern flying squirrels there.
Have you ever seen one flying?
I have.
Oh, I'd love to see
I
that.
I see where it, when you're at the shelter house, you'll notice right in the corner, it stashes its acorns and hickory nuts in there.
Huh. Now, it's really, they have a membrane between their forward legs and their rear legs that allows them to glide, right?
Yeah, yeah. It just
it's
basically,
not wings.
Yeah, it's basically saggy skin, and it just the air lifts them up, and then, yeah, they glide from spot to spot.
Do they make a noise as they're flying?
No, they're pretty silent.
I have saggy skin that makes a lot of noise when I'm walking. The other night, I was walking with my dog. I got to make sure that I'm not messing up again. No, I still got a couple minutes. I was walking with my dog, and, you know, we've talked about bats, and they don't.
Yeah, we have.
And I've told my story about the one time I had one brush against my hair.
Oh, yes.
Because I was not drunk. I was had my sea legs after a sailboat race of 5 days. But I heard what I thought was a flapping noise, and my dog actually, and she's blind and not very very alert, but she actually noticed, you could tell she heard it too. And it was a flapping noise, and then this what appeared to be white flash went by my face very close. Would that have been a bat, or would it have been some sort of bird that
a bird, probably a dove?
Oh, it could have been a dove, because it sort of sounded like the dove's wings when they take off. They're kind of noisy when
they are when they take flight.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, then I'll tell my dog not to be frightened. All right, well, we've got about one more minute. You got anything you want to give us before? We're going to talk about all the programs that you've got going in the next 15 minutes, but before that, you got any other tidbits you can let us know about?
Yeah, so just when you're out at Tallgrass Trail, just make sure at each intersection, please look out for cars.
Stop,
because we're unfortunately hearing reports of people like playing chicken with the cars.
Oh, now that's stupid.
It is. And we got stop signs. We got even warning signs that, hey, this road is coming up.
Well, I've been, what is that, Her Road?
That's the
right
one.
There, about pretty close to the mile.
Yes.
I've seen, unfortunately, people driving down Her Road way too fast.
Yeah.
And so that's a place my wife and I always look both ways before we cross that. Actually, my wife and I were brought up right. We both look both ways on an alley.
That's so good. That's good.
Anyway, we've got about 5 minutes, 5 seconds, so I'm going to break here for about 2 minutes.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, One. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
All right, we're back. We got the last 15 minutes. And please, be careful when you're crossing roads. How many... You only cross one road that I know of, but I'm sure there are other
several
roads along the Tallgrass Trail. There's 12 miles of Tallgrass Trail, so how many roads do you cross if you walk the whole way?
I want to say it's about 9 or 10.
Please be careful while you're
and
out
a couple
there.
Highways. I mean, there's state...
Big
two,
highways.
Yeah, big highways. Yeah. State Route 203 and 37.
Yeah, and you look both ways.
Yes,
and then look again.
Yes.
Because, like I was telling James while we were off the air, my wife and I were walking along out there on by her road, and this one car went by us. If we had kept on walking, we had walked right in front of it. And I suppose the cars have the right of way, right?
Yeah.
But they should have slowed down.
Yeah. And we have warning markers on the road per intersection.
Yeah.
That's saying, you know, there is a trail. But then, you know, we do put, again, we tell hikers and bikers that, hey, there is this road's coming up, and then we actually put a stop sign at each intersection.
Yep.
So
that's good. You just have to be smarter than the stupid drivers that are not paying attention.
Yeah.
Not all drivers are stupid. I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
All right, look, tell us what's going to go on. You've got all sorts of program things that are going to happen. We need to know about that.
So
while we're waiting for our crystal change. Hadn't changed yet.
No.
Still curled up. All right.
So I'm quite excited to get to start programming back up.
Yeah.
We had our board meeting last week, and we've talked with the health department, and they feel comfortable that we could continue our small nature programs. Now, we do have some restrictions and guidelines that are a little bit different than we had in the years past. One of the big things is we must have a type of registration. And reason why is because under the governor's order, we're only allowed, you know, 10 or less.
Yep.
And I'm that 10th person, so I'm only allowed to register for 9 other people.
Yep.
And then,
now, if a family would register with, you know, let's say with 2 kids, that would be 3.
Yeah, that would
4.
Be 3. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every person counts for the program.
Even if you bring a baby, I imagine that person counts too.
Probably. Then they're only allowed outdoor programs. Then we have to, you know, do social distancing, just all that safe stuff just to keep us.
Do you have it in the house there, the little?
Well, and that's the thing, because I asked.
That's pretty small.
Yeah, they've been out there, and they just said, no, we can't really have anything. Now, we can have. And in the shelter house, or the, you know, where all the picnic tables are, we can spread
because
everybody.
It's open.
Yeah, and it's open, but inside, I don't know. It doesn't sound like we'll be able to, since, like you mentioned, it's not the biggest building.
Right.
So for registration, we ask for those who are on social media. We do have our Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page or Instagram. Now, if you're those who don't use social media, but you like to participate, we have a county office building. We have our phone number at 740-223-4161.
We'll give that again a little bit later. I know we didn't give you enough time to get your pencil and paper up. So in about 2 or 3 minutes, we'll do that again.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then just please keep in mind that programs can be canceled due to the weather. So.
Sure.
All right, so starting up next week, and I know it's kind of short notice, but we'll try. But we're going to do just a park trash pickup program.
We'll start
at the trailhead. It's from 9 to 11 a.m. We'll provide bags. We just ask you to please bring gloves. And then also, too, if you want to bring a water bottle while you're hiking, because we are going to hike roughly about 2.5 miles.
Going to go that far out?
Well,
or you're going to go a mile and a quarter out and a mile and a quarter back?
For the first one, we're going to go up and around the lake and back. And that's roughly about 2.5 miles,
okay.
If you round it out. Now, please keep in mind for this program, now just just because you don't register for this doesn't mean that you can't pick up trash anytime.
Yeah, I'm sure.
This is just more for our social gatherings.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. September 10th, we're doing a Edible Medicinal Plant 101 program. So I'll be giving a cool little program about just some resources that are out there, how to utilize resources, and then we will go out on the trail and look for some edible medicinal plants that are out on the trail.
We have edible medicinal plants that trail.
Yeah, yeah,
cool.
We have quite a few.
That sounds like a fun show.
Yeah, that program will begin at 6 o'clock p.m. On September 12th, we'll have a bird watching program at the Tallgrass Trail. That's at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know it's early, but that's when the birds are out.
Yep.
Then on the 24th, we'll be back with you, Glenn, from 10 to noon on this station. And then September 26th, we're doing Fishing with the Naturalist program from 9 to 11 a.m. We'll be meeting at the Herd Road parking lot there at the lake. Please keep in mind, for those 16 and older, you must have a fishing license.
Sure.
So
where are you going to fish from then?
Just around the lake.
Okay. And you're not providing boats or anything?
No. Okay. We're just going to...
Now, if they bring a boat, could they go out?
As long as it's non-motorized, then yes, they can. Yep. So, and those who participate, I will give them a fish identification book and a fish measurement.
We got a couple of minutes. Tell me what type of fish they get out of.
So they can get white, black crappie. They can get sunfish, which is your bluegills, red, green sunfish, smallmouth, largemouth bass, and yellow and channel catfish.
Okay. Are there any concerns about eating the fish out of that lake?
As of right now, no.
Good. Okay. So. You never know.
That's true.
With all the pesticides that we use, you can't tell.
No, you're absolutely right. And then the last program we're offering for the next month is on September 29th. We're doing the Wonderful World of Pawpaws at 5:30 p.m. at the trail. Hopefully we'll have some fruit for you to try out and to enjoy. So
now, do you have a lot of pawpaw trees on the trail?
Well, it's funny, on the trail we don't, but at Paradise Nature Preserve we do. But it's kind of funny, they don't produce a lot of fruits. Okay. And I'll talk a little bit of that now, but then definitely next month, that's my subject.
Sure.
Because I'll definitely, I'd love to bring you some pawpaws to try out.
That would be
cool.
But
they have to cross-pollinate with another pawpaw with different genetics.
I don't think we can talk about that on the air.
So,
well, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that they didn't produce a lot of fruit.
Well, I mean, they do, but you have to cross-pollinate them with another genetic. So they basically... Pawpaws clone themselves, and then because they clone themselves, they can't pollinate very well. So you have to have one genetics from one patch and a genetics from another patch.
Oh, okay.
And if not, you get too much interbreeding, and they don't produce.
Interbreeding is bad. It would bring back the Russian hierarchy.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to... Are you going to bring me some pawpaw?
Yes, I sure am.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And you said it's kind of like what?
Fruity, mango, banana, tropical taste.
That's fantastic. I love anything tropical. Makes me think I'm back in Florida.
Yeah.
Not that I like Florida. I do like Florida. I don't like the critters that live in Florida. And I'm not real fond of the summers in Florida.
Well, they got gators down there. So
yeah, they sure do.
We don't have gators in...
well, we may if somebody brought one north and dumped it off in the... Do you ever get that?
As of right now, no. But I could totally see that.
Yeah,
I
can too. And seeing maybe a boa constrictor or something.
There was in Marion last summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was... What was it? About 10 or 12 feet long.
Oh, my.
And then the wildlife officer, he had to come out. And luckily, the guy, he just said that his snake got loose and he found it. And he got it back from the wildlife officer.
That would not be good for little dogs.
No, or cats.
Or cats.
Or small children.
Yeah. Oh, I did have an interesting experience the other night. My puppy dog, she's old, and she has to get up. Like her daddy, she has to get up a couple times in the middle of the night, three times for her, two times for dad. But I take her out, and I put her on her little leash, and she runs around in circles because she's got her brain's gone. Anyway, she has a good time. We don't worry about it. But we went out there, and I saw what I thought was a large white ball. Sitting out, we have the back of my yard has 30 to 40 foot pine trees on it. and I saw this ball underneath one of the pine trees. So I thought, why in the world is there a ball out there? Maybe our backdoor neighbor who has kids might have lost the ball. So I went out there. I was going to throw the ball back into their yard. It moved.
Oh, it moved.
It was a cat.
Oh.
And I had seen the ball for about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and hadn't done anything. And when I walked out there, it was a cat.
Huh. He grew some legs.
And he watched us for 10 to 15 minutes
cats
without moving.
Really?
Just staring at us. Huh. Kind of creepy.
Cats are creepy.
Yeah. I take it you're not a big cat fan.
No, but I have two at home.
Oh, okay.
My son, he's 5, and he likes them, so I'm like, all right.
I love watching him on Facebook. He seems to enjoy everything.
Yes, you see, we found a rat snake at Mount State Park.
I did, and he...
He bit me, yeah.
Well, and the rat snake, your son was not afraid of it.
No, he did want to hold it, but he did touch it.
Yeah.
But you know the funny thing about that was I was going to do a 5-minute video. I gave him my phone. I thought I was doing this cool, fun lesson. And then I let the snake go. And then I'm like, oh, okay, Jeremiah, can I see my phone? And then sure enough, he only recorded it the last 3 seconds.
Oh,
it was his first time. But
yeah, sure.
I was kind of bummed. But at the same time, I laugh. I'm like, oh, goodness. So I say, maybe next time.
As a parent, you will have lots of those instances go by.
But half of those pictures you saw, he took. So he really, he's getting into photography.
And he's not bad at it.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
pretty good.
The pictures were well composed. And clear, and he did a good job. You tell him I said he did a good job. I enjoyed his pictures.
He just turned 5 on the 14th, so.
Well, there are lots of pictures I noticed, moving pictures on a site that is related to the Marion County Parks Department. I'm not sure how closely related, but there are lots of animal pictures, and so I was watching 3 videos yesterday when I was getting ready for the show.
Okay.
And I should have looked on what the website is, but
okay.
They were really good about, and they were all taken on the trail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to find
that
and let you know what it is. But there's a website, I can see the site right now on my head. It's got a bird, and there are lots of birds on it. People take a lot of pictures.
Oh, is it the Birds in Bloom Nature?
It could have been, might have been what...
Or the Ohio Backyard Stewards.
That's it, Ohio Backyard Stewards. And that might have been where I saw these motion videos.
Yeah, I help, well, me and the Eco Center and the Paradise Nature Center, we all kind of collaborated, and we created that.
Oh,
page.
Yeah, that's such a cool page.
Yeah, we just thought it was a cool opportunity for people to, you know, give out their local nature discoveries and if they have questions. So enjoy it.
There's a guy named Eric that takes very nice pictures.
Yes,
he has a lot of cardinals in his area, apparently.
He does.
And Brandy, who does a lot with the monarchs and other critters.
Yep.
I put a lot of flowers on just because I love flowers.
And your walks. I always enjoy watching your pictures on your walk.
And recently I haven't had very much on there because my walks have ceased to generate some pictures.
Okay.
But I do have a perennial garden out front that I can't believe how many people have contacted me saying they love it.
Really?
It wasn't even that good a picture. But
well, you must have did something.
Well, I have perennials that are taller than me.
Really?
And I don't know how I did that. I have a brown thumb, not a green thumb. So, anyway, I better check my time here. Yeah, we're down to the last 45 seconds. So do you have anything that you want to leave our crowd with?
Yes. So, again, that number for the office is 740-223-4161.
Read it one more time.
740-223-4161.
Yeah, great. And we will have you on again a month from right now. Well, the fourth Thursday, right?
Or the last Thursday.
It's the last Thursday, Thursday.
Which most months it is, fourth.
Well, I messed that up a month ago. So
that's
trying not to do that again. Well, thank you, James, I hope your monarch turns out to be as beautiful as I suspect.
I will, and I'll leave a picture.
All right, excellent. Well, have a great day. We're out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just said my prayer to the real God. I said, hey man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but